The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday morning show, where we seem to get the left riled up every single day. And it's one of the things I love about coming in here. And as much as I'm into Radar Love on Harley, in the Ferrari, it doesn't matter. If I'm going fast, well, of course, within the legal speed limits, my sense of joy in being alive fits right in with this. All right, let's jump ahead.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
Yeah.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
Today is a day of celebration for me, and I'm going to tell you why. The story is a bit intertwined with a whole host of issues. Really sort of goes back to a week ago last Wednesday when my wife had her heart surgery, wound up 4.5 hours on the table, 9 hours flat on her back, and we came in on Saturday, and we'd had this tremendous success and lots of optimism. The, putting a major problem, we think, behind us, and then everything just went to heck in a handbasket. And it involves the auto repair shop. If you're a regular listener, we've had this, we've been so excited about a move into a new building. Our auto repair shop, we've outgrown it, and then they decided to sell the building. And it just didn't make sense to try and buy that building because the space was too small. We found this great location in Denver and had all the terms locked down. And then something very negative happened there. And then perhaps the closest experience I've had to the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus, all three of those threads are going to interweave into the story that I hope to tell you. But that's not all we're going to talk about, of course. And I have people come up and say, man, I just love when you tell the stories because I relate that to my life. Sometimes they're, you know, like warnings. Sometimes they're motivational. This one is really about the value of persistence, perseverance, and prayer. And so hopefully you'll indulge me a little bit. Of course, we take your phone calls all morning long, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. No guests until the 10 o'clock hour. So now's a good time to get in while the getting's good. It gets hard around here, and that's why I always suggest that you put your phone, put our number, 303-696-1971, on speed dial. Many of you know I won a Corvette decades ago by having a radio station's number on speed dial. There was more to it than that, but really love to get your calls. And if you can't get in on the phones, then there's always the Text to Studio app, which has really become a great way to communicate with you. Text messages tend to pour in around here. And if you've got the, if you've got a smartphone, all you got to do is download the 710 KNUS app. And then when you open that baby up, number one, you can listen to 710 KNUS anywhere you have an internet connection. You can download or just listen to our podcasts if you miss a show or want to go back and hear something that really made sense to you. And there's a big button up at the top of the app where you can text to the studio. And we've got a big monitor in here. The texts roll in, and we have an awful lot of fun reading them. And we can type and respond, and I follow up on those after the show. And it's just really been a great source of information. I am very excited about this afternoon because, remember last week I was inviting you, and this is an invitation to you as well. Last week I was giving this first presentation at a church on Roe v. Wade. Past, present, and future is the way that I tried to describe it. And we joked about it because the attorney who invited me to do it and who put together the slideshow and was presenting one side of the conversation was someone who comes from the left, someone I love dearly and have known for a long time, all the way back to law school. And then I was invited, and of course I'm slightly conservative, so I was coming in from the right. And we were doing it in a church, but she wanted to be non-political and non-religious. It didn't quite work out that way. And I want to tell you a little bit about some takeaways I got from that particular afternoon. And thank you so much to all of you who came out and showed up. Today, and this came up somewhat unexpectedly, but same opportunity. If you've got some time this afternoon, I hope you will join us at the Mile High Calvary Church, which is right there at County Line and right around Broadway, about a block west of Broadway on County Line Road in Highlands Ranch. What they're doing, Freedom Fest, Freedom of Choice, Religious and Medical. Freedom Fest is actually kicking off at 10 o'clock. I guess Jimmy's going to go and play a little harmonica, address the group as well. And I'm scheduled to speak there at 1 p.m. And there's Christmas photos, a craft sale, bake sale, coffee bar, face painting, glitter art tattoo, a bounce house, live music from the Cover Halls, Colorado. But why this is so important to me and why I'm so honored to come and address this group is the actual organization that's putting this together is Airline Employees for Health Freedom. Airline Employees for Health Freedom. And my understanding is these are all United Airlines employees who are standing up against the vaccine mandate put in place back all the way back in August by the CEO of United Airlines. And according to the statistics that they provided, up to 4,000 employees have filed for religious and or medical exemptions. And for the most part, and I'll just summarize it briefly here, the response from United Airlines has been to grant the exemptions. And then the only accommodation to be made for those employees whose exemptions were granted was to have unpaid leave for up to 6 years, effectively termination, loss of company seniority after 90 days, loss of medical benefits unless you can afford to pay the company, loss of travel benefits, unable to retire while you're on this unpaid leave, and no ability to use sick leave to continue getting your pay with certain caveats there. So literally no, you know, the term that allows businesses to get away with these vax mandates are reasonable accommodations. You know, you can do it as long as you provide reasonable accommodations. That list that I just described for you is what United Airlines came up with for reasonable accommodations. So they found it. And listen, I talked to some of these people early on. I did not have the manpower or the resources to get involved in their lawsuit. There was just too many. It was a broad. Well, anyway, doesn't matter. We were knee deep in a whole host of things. But they found a great lawyer. They've got lawyers in D.C., locally here. And this is going to be, I think, a fundraiser for these guys. Regardless, I'm really looking forward to having a chance to address them. They're saying there could be 1,000 or more people there, and I certainly hope so. I hope you go out and give us some support. And if you're there and you see me, come up and say hello. Really will appreciate that. It was so great last week at the United Methodist Church in Wheat Ridge to see all the 710 KNUS listeners, all the folks who support protecting unborn life in the womb, show up for this presentation on Roe v. Wade. We literally outnumbered, I think, the regular churchgoers there who were also attending to learn about the sort of legal history of Roe v. Wade and what we expect from the cases that are making their way into the Supreme Court. And there were some protesters there, or I should say life supporters there. They had some of the pictures that I hope are disturbing to anybody who sees them, the pictures of aborted babies and just how human they are. And, you know, setting all that aside, because there's so much I want to tell you about, let me just tell you what I sort of walked away with. It was a wonderful presentation, and everybody who was there on either side of the position, whether you were for or against Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose and all the different terms that you hear, it was very respectful. It was people took turns at the microphone. At the end, when I hadn't written any closing remarks, but it just came on my heart to express my appreciation to how civil the discussion had been and how important it was that people from both sides be able to actually talk about the ideas and try and tone down some of the emotion that gets involved in these crucially important issues. And it doesn't mean they're not emotional and you shouldn't be passionate and there aren't times for tremendous emotion, but this wasn't that type of a presentation. But what was clearly identifiable to me, you could certainly tell the church people and undoubtedly the folks who are pro-abortion, because they sat very quietly in the back rows of the church and they were masked. Pastor was masked. They were asking people or suggesting that people wear masks, but they weren't enforcing it. Literally, as I was driving up there, I wondered about the mask problem and if they were going to enforce a mask mandate, whether I would stay. Because my typical practice, unless I'm going in a hospital or getting on an airplane, is I don't wear a mask, airports, restaurants, anywhere else. And if I'm in someone's business or location where they insist, I just thank them and leave. It's simple as that. But that wasn't a problem. So you could see the difference. The pro-life folks were up front, maskless, active at the microphone. There was a couple of situations where, you know, people were starting to get judgmental, and I didn't like that. There was an interesting conversation where scripture came out. There's no way you keep politics and religion out of a discussion of abortion, of Roe v. Wade. And all of the different decisions and conclusions and assumptions that have been made to lead us to where we are in that particular debate. But there was some interesting, I pulled up a scripture that someone had quoted to stand for a proposition and read that scripture. And I'm happy to get into this with you privately, you know, if you want to call or talk or email me about it later. Because it was just fascinating to see how people can sort of find a scripture to support what they the argument that they're trying to make. But if you dig in a little deeper, it's never quite so clear. But the bottom line for me is that the clearly the pro-abortion folks were the masked, very quiet ones who didn't want to come up and engage, didn't come to the microphone. The pro-lifers were right up front and living freedom freely without masks and fear. And were very engaging at the microphone. Rosemary handled herself brilliantly. It went much longer than I think it should have because of all the questions. We just took them right out of the gate. But nobody left, you know, nobody got up and left. And at the end, there was very polite and respectful applause from both sides of the issue, back in the masked crowd and up front. And I just thought, man, oh, man, what a distinction there is between the different ways that people view how they live their lives, how they address this issue. And it's really important to acknowledge that. This was not an opportunity, and I did not let it devolve into any kind of a shouting match, pro or con, or anything else. What I wanted the opportunity to do was educate people on both sides of the aisle about how we get to these kinds of positions in our country, and where we appear to be headed with the Supreme Court now, taking a look at things. So it was very fascinating, and I was grateful that the folks that were clearly sort of opposed to those of us on the right, on the pro-life side, were very respectful at the end just acknowledging that we had had a very, for the most part, almost 100% civil conversation, and we need to do a whole lot more of that, especially in conversations about these very, very serious issues. And I don't know what it'll be like today at the Calvary Church, Mile High Calvary, County Line, west of Broadway, but I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun. And everybody that's out there is going to be not anti-vax, and I get called anti-vax all the time, and I am anti-vax for myself. And for people who've taken a look at the evidence and don't have specific health concerns and all that, I'm anti-vax, but I'm pro-choice. It's your choice. I'm anti-vaccine mandate. And that's what this organization, this group, this rally at the church from 10 to 2 today is going to be about. I will be there to speak with you sometime around 1 o'clock. So now let's look ahead for the show. The Rittenhouse verdict, I was writing up a contract in my living room on my laptop, an agreement, and I saw the headline that the verdict was about to be announced. So, of course, I stopped and I listened and just literally was holding my breath and watching that young man. And, you know, as the not guilty started to come out, you could see, I don't know why he didn't just let himself go. People who mocked him when he was crying on the witness stand said it was a put on because you remember how kind of twitchy he got, just choking and jerking and all that. Same thing started to happen there when he became overwhelmed with the fact that he was about to be fully acquitted. And so that clearly is how he reacts to these deeply emotional and powerful feelings that must have been going on with him on the witness stand and, of course, standing there awaiting and then hearing this verdict. And I was just so grateful that that in spite of the intimidation of the radical left and in spite of the just the constant barrage from the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine on this young man being a white supremacist and a vigilante and all of those things, that the jury, and with the chance and the threats of the potential rioters right outside the courthouse that were told the jurors could hear during their deliberations, in spite of all of it, they did what, and I didn't watch this case from start to finish. I've read about it. I understand it. I've watched big chunks of the videos. What I believe 100% was the right verdict in this particular circumstance, and they did it. And I would love to tell you that as a result of that, you know, my faith in the American justice system is restored. I'd love to tell you that, but I absolutely can't. And one of the reasons is these guys. And I'm not going to play all this. I know how hard it is to hear, but as a reminder, those are the political prisoners of January 6th in Washington, D.C., many of whom never convicted of a prior crime or no violent crime, didn't commit a violent act while they were in D.C., not being allowed to have bond, wanting to go to trial, having their trials postponed virtually indefinitely, having the worst of conditions that you wouldn't expect at Guantanamo Bay, and yet every single night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, they are stopping, dropping whatever they're doing, or in their cases, probably not doing, and they are, as a group, singing the national anthem. They're singing the national anthem. We had a caller last week who said that's just changed her life. She's been doing the same thing at 7 o'clock just to join them in spirit. And so that tells me that America is doing well. Patriotism and courage and the perseverance that it takes to battle tyranny and the encroachment of communism that we're seeing every single day. The resistance to that is growing in every, just in so many different facets of our society. I see it from my perch with my expanding circles of communication and circles of influence and those who influence me. And so I'm not worried. I'm concerned. It's a battle. We have to stay strong. We have to fight. But I'm not worried that we're about to let America slip away. I believe we're in the midst of a great awakening. And it's been accelerated by the creepy, sleepy, slimy, demented Joe Biden, putative president of the United States administration, and by the radical outcries, the admissions now of radical Democrats of what they really want for this country, what people have seen on the border. What we see when a jury verdict goes against the message and the mantra of the left, people are getting sick of it, and they're organizing, and they're pushing back. So America, I think, is in good shape. I feel great about it. And that's not even the reason I was doing this early on. Celebrate! Celebrate! I'll get to that. And I know we've got callers on the line. Everybody, I just got to get this all off my chest, so everybody be patient. 303-696-1971. But I wish I could say after that verdict that I feel like the justice system in America is okay. It's not. It is now a political tool of the radical left. I mentioned the January 6th, the political prisoners in D.C., and that has come home to roost. With the FBI raid of Mesa County clerk and recorder Tina Peters, America's mom Sharona Bishop, America's mom, an activist for school board change and school reform and curriculum, and an activist for election integrity and a host of other things, with a national spotlight and just the most persistent and courageous patriot you'd ever want to know. And because she was a part of Tina Peters and the copying, apparently, of Dominion voting machines before the state had the opportunity to wipe them clean, no accusation of a crime that I am aware of, the FBI showed up with a battering ram at her front door this week. Tina Peters, Sharona Bishop, and others. A battering ram. They manhandled, is the term that I heard her use, manhandled her 18-year-old daughter by her hoodie upstairs to get her out, I guess, of the way. They handcuffed America's mom for a half hour or more while they ransacked her house. The FBI is now a political arm of the Biden administration. The justice system in America is in deep, deep trouble. Sharona Bishop will join us at 10 o'clock to tell us her story herself. And I'm going to sort of wrap up and try and share the story that I had hoped to get to in this first 20 minutes about this last week and a half that involves COVID, that involves the shop, that involves persistence and prayer and just never giving up, because I think it will be significant to you. And then we will get to your phone calls. No guests until Sharona Bishop at the 10 o'clock hour. 9:21, though, time for our first break. Randy Corporan here. Wake up on 710 KNUS. Another song that makes me very, very happy. Doesn't quite match this one, though.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
Yeah, I'll get to the punchline on why I come in so happy this morning. I promise I will. Good-looking day. 52 is the high, 46 right now in Denver and Aurora. But, man, another Harley-looking few days ahead. 54 on Sunday, 64 on Monday, 63 on Tuesday, and we don't see snow or bitter cold here for at least another week. Should be a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I can't wait. Don't forget the Freedom Fest going on from 10 to 2 at Mile High Calvary. The United Airlines Pilots Organization is there opposing vax mandates and the egregious, just horrific, air quotes, reasonable accommodations offered by United Airlines. I will be addressing the crowd, the group, however big or small it is, around 1 o'clock today, and I hope to see you out there, Mile High Calvary at County Line Road just west of Broadway. Before I get back to my story and try and bring it all home, no guests till the top of the hour. We'll be joined by America's mom, Sharona Bishop, who had her door bashed in by the FBI, her daughter manhandled up the stairs, stood in handcuffs while they ransacked her house. Can't wait to share that story with you, but do want to squeeze in a call or two, 303-696-1971. Before we go to Don in Colorado Springs, given the topic I see on the screen, let's just hear this recent comment from the world dominator, Bill Gates, and I think this was back on November the 9th.
Economic damage, the deaths, it's been completely horrific, and I would expect that will lead the R&D budgets to be focused on things we didn't have today. You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
Unbelievable. Remember when they rolled this thing out? Go back to normal. Protect yourself from getting the virus. Now we have Bill Gates himself, one of the most powerful, wide-reaching proponents of everybody getting this jab, admitting that these so-called vaccines, and remember, CDC had to change the definition of vaccine. One of the biggest proponents now recognizing that, well, they don't really prevent you from getting it. In fact, now we know not only can you get it, but if you're vaccinated, you can spread it. And in fact, because of the way the vaccine deals with the viral load in your body, apparently you can be a worse spreader if you're vaccinated. So he admits that. And he says, well, now we've got vaccines that help you with your symptoms. But we need to work on something that actually prevents you from getting COVID, which is, of course, what they told us over and over and over and over again. It's absolutely outrageous. And Don wants to talk about the vax mandate. So, Don, good morning and welcome.
Yeah. Well, before I get to that, I do have to say I'm glad our friend in Wisconsin has been not guilty. The Democrats wanted to make him into a poster boy for gun control and all that, but it doesn't change the fact that the vax mandate still might be...
Well, let me pause you just 1 second, as long as you brought up Rittenhouse, because I failed to ask this question, and this is one thing I want to hear from folks about today. I heard Stephen Tubbs yesterday briefly make the comment that Rittenhouse is not a hero, and I didn't get a chance to really hear people... Hold on, Don. I'll give you plenty of time. I didn't really get a chance to hear how people elaborated on their positions, but my question to the audience today, 303-696-1971, is Rittenhouse a confused teenager? Is he a vigilante? Or is he an American patriot, an American hero? What would be your answer to that, Don, and then I'll turn it back to you.
Well, a teenager that shouldn't have been there in the first place.
So you'd go with confused teen.
Yeah. I agree with the not guilty charges. The Democrats just wanted to make him into a poster boy for their party and their cause and buy votes. I mean, that's all it is. But, I mean, he should have just not go looking for trouble. I mean,
you know that was his grandparents' business that he was defending, right? You know that he stopped a dumpster that was caught on fire and was being pushed toward a gas station that he put the fire out there?
If that was the case, then fine, you know. But that doesn't necessarily make him the hero of the day.
All right. Well, you'd called about the vax mandate. I'll turn it back over to you.
So, as far as the vax mandate is concerned, I mean, you know, we're learning more about the vaxes and, you know, and why people are so passionate about everyone getting the vax. I think they're just trying to appease the Karens who, you know, believe that if everybody else does their part and all that, you know, we'll feel good about ourselves and there's no problems at all. But the problem is that... the reason why we're not taking it is because, you know, we are questioning it, and the $64,000 question is it a faulty product? And why should you be forced to take a faulty product, you know, when something bad could happen to you, or if there's an ulterior motive with Bill Gates? And, I mean, he talked about the vaccines as a population control device. And
yeah, we played that clip a few weeks ago.
You know, and I mean, and, you know, and if they're just doing nothing and allowing it to be such and using that to knock off a certain people before admitting that the vaccine sucks, I mean, that's the equivalent of actually committing murder.
Don, I appreciate your comments this morning. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
You have a good one.
Don's line is open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. It's a bridge too far for me to say that this is an intentional, you know, globalist effort to kill people. I just, it's too much. I don't have the evidence for it. I don't have, you certainly get these dark, deep, dark, foreboding feelings about it. On the other hand, you know, Donald Trump is the reason that we got these vaccines as quickly as we did. And I'm certain that when they were putting these together, they thought they would prevent people from getting the virus. They didn't realize that they would be ineffective in actually preventing you from getting the virus. And so anyway, as time plays out, I guess we'll find out. Probably in, what is it, about 55 years? Isn't it 55 years that the FDA has asked for before they have to release information on the research behind the Pfizer vaccine? The Pfizer vaccine research data the FDA wants to hide from you for the next 55 years. How's that for transparency? And I've already heard, you know, some of the explanation. Well, this is proprietary to the company, and you know, they want to protect their product and blah blah blah. I say BS. I say that the number one, these vax companies, these pharmaceutical companies, have all the protections in the world. You can't sue them. You can apply for a reimbursement from a very hard to get through processed fund of the federal government, and hopefully, with luck, get yourself taken care of. I represented someone whose daughter has received, over the course of her life, it'll probably be millions of dollars of care from that fund, tragically injured by vaccines when she was a little girl. Nothing to do with the COVID. It happens. You all know the story of Jose Manriquez, my client. I've said for months, he's 34. He's 32 years old, a father of four, who took the vax mandatory after having COVID last year, took it on August 22nd. By August 31st, he couldn't walk and had a minor stroke a few weeks after that. And, you know, he's doing a little better. His hand tremors have stopped. He's still having the walking and other issues, but I do digress. Of course, there is reasons to be concerned. Of course, there are reasons to be careful. And there is no right, no moral justification for trying to force people to make that choice or give up their livelihood. It just drives me crazy. Before we get back to the phones, and I still got to finish this story for you. I'm probably not going to have time now in this segment because I've talked too long. But let's get to some of these texts real quick. Greetings from Arizona, Susie. Good morning. Randy, this is Casper. I hope by an... Oh, Sharona Bishop. Yes, Sharona Bishop will join us at 10 o'clock. I definitely heard about it, been in touch with everybody up there. Very interesting, too, the coordination of these intimidation tactics by the FBI. Because, and I don't know, I haven't seen this lawsuit. I don't know what it is. I don't have time to follow everything that Mike Lindell is up to. But he has been saying now for weeks that he's doing a marathon on Frank TV. I think it starts on the 23rd. And he has been promising for weeks that on the 23rd, he is dropping a lawsuit directly into the United States Supreme Court with the support of, 23 state attorney generals, or maybe it's secretaries of state. That lawsuit is dropping. He says it's going to be 9-0 to overturn the election. Well, we'll see about that. You never want to predict something quite so vehemently as that. But what is that lawsuit? And why all of a sudden is it important to knock down with a battering ram the front door of America's mom and drag her daughter up the stairs by her hoodie and handcuff her as they ransack her house? The same kind of treatment that they gave to Roger Stone, to General Michael Flynn, and other people who, you know, if you show up with a search warrant at my house, I'll look at it. I'll make sure that you adhere to the forms of it. You can only look for what you're looking for, but I'll let you in. I'm not going to get in your way. I don't pose any kind of a danger. And I can tell you for sure, the beautiful, courageous Sharona Bishop, America's mom, operates 100% the same way. So I can't wait to talk to her at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to have to do my little sort of wrap up on why I'm in here so happy today. It's a long, arduous couple of week journey with many moving pieces. It involves COVID. It involves the loss of our new auto repair shop. It involves just a host of things that I think you'll find instructive and I hope maybe just sort of motivating. Phone lines, Dave and could hardly see there. Dave and Joan, sit tight. 303-696-1971 if you want to grab the only open line we have. But as we head into break, let's hear from the Colorado hero. She needs no introduction, and what she had to say was brilliant on the House, the U.S. House of Representatives floor just a couple of days ago.
Democrat policies are so pathetic and have done so poorly that the left has nothing else to do but troll the internet looking for ways to get offended and then try to target members and strip them of their committees. This is a dumb waste of the House's time, but since the speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman incited further violence in the streets outside of a courthouse. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and three-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. Let me say that again. A member of Congress who receives classified briefings
Briefing
with the
time's
enemy.
Up.
This is unacceptable, and this would never be...
time's expired. Gentleman from Florida.
That was our very own Congresswoman Lauren Boebert defending her colleague, someone I've met, had great conversations with, admired. Don't think I've ever had him on the show. Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar, who was sanctioned on the House floor and stripped of his committee positions because of a video that was put out regarding Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so Lauren Boebert doing what only Lauren can do. When we get Sharona Bishop on at the top of the hour, who had her house door broken down by FBI battering rams this week, we'll talk a little bit about how I met these two wonderful people long before Lauren's congressional run, and give you a little bit of background on that as well. Everybody on the phone, sit tight. It's 9:41. I've got to wrap up my my story, and I'll try and do that on the other side as well. So everybody stay with us. It's 710 KNUS. 9:45, 15 minutes to go until 10 o'clock. Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate I got those out of order. Your pumped-up purveyor of passionate, principled, patriot, principle. I don't even remember now. Well, anyway, this is how I'm feeling today.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
And let me tell you why. And everybody on the phones, please be patient with me. I want to try and get this out so we can move on. I certainly want to get your calls on Rittenhouse, Vigilante, Confused Teenager, American Patriot or Hero. Text messages are pouring in. We're going to talk about the RNC and Ronna McDaniel's decision to announce without the support or the vote or even sort of the commiseration with the actual voting members on the RNC, a RNC LGBT Pride Coalition, and the fallout of that. I've literally received now hundreds of emails calling for me to make a public statement. We'll get into that later on in the show. And, of course, we're going to be joined by Sharona Bishop at 11 o'clock to talk about the FBI raid and the state of justice in the United States of America. But let me pick this back up where I sort of started at the beginning of the hour, and that is you've heard about my excitement. We found this beautiful new building to move the shop into. Everything was on track. And a week ago last Wednesday, I'm in my wife's hospital room, 4.5 hour heart surgery, 4 more hours flat on her back. She's a woman with metal screws, a botched back surgery, can't lie on her back for that long, in agony. They're having trouble managing her pain. We're trying to get our doctor who understands the situation. But the minutes in between are just agonizing. And all of a sudden I get a text that says, you know that deal we were about to make? We have to be out of the shop we're in, Hartker's Garage. We have to be out by Wednesday. New owners are taking over on Friday. Thursday is Thanksgiving. So we have to be out in 5 days, basically. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in that shop. It's small, but it's packed. And there's, what, 30 cars or more in the parking lot. And we're all set. We've got the new place in Denver. And I'm so excited. We're happy with the terms. I've got the deposit check in my briefcase with me, on and on and on. And I get this text that the guy who is selling is changing the terms. He's having second thoughts. Wants to change the payment arrangements. And remember, I'm sitting in the hospital. It's dark. It's quiet. My wife is resting for a change. You know, they've got her at peace for a few minutes. And all of a sudden I get this and I'm just nails me. So I respond and object. And all of a sudden it becomes a take it or leave it from this guy. And so I talk to my son-in-law, whose livelihood and future this is all, you know, rotating around. And he says, to heck with it. You know, we're going to find another way. So that's it. We're done with our new shop. We now have basically 2 weeks to find a new place and to get out. And that's not easy, you know, to find something that's appropriate, that's large, that fits, and all of that. So I constantly trying to, a lawyer got involved with this other guy. And so great lawyer, good guy, really have come to like him. And so we kept trying to come up with offers and back and forth, and it just flat wasn't going to work. So Saturday I'm here doing the show. You didn't hear me talk at all about the shop because we had nothing. We had nowhere to go. And I'm excited about going and doing the Roe v. Wade thing at the church. I get done with that. I'm headed home. I'm kind of tired, and I get the word that my 35-month-old grandson has tested positive for COVID. He was around a COVID kid, and he started getting sick. They tested him positive. And I don't worry too much about kids who get it. But, of course, you know, there are some tiny fraction of young people who have horrible reactions to it. So your attention is gotten. What I knew for certain is that if he had it, the rest of his family was going to get it as well. And so all of a sudden we're scrambling and trying to figure out how to protect everybody and, you know, getting all of the treatments that are available if people just know how to get them and if the pharmacies will just dispense them and tracking this all. And so on Monday, all of a sudden, my daughter and her husband start getting sick. And it doesn't sound like COVID. They had a sense of smell. They had, it just didn't seem like classic COVID. It was nausea. It was so bad. Coming out, you know, both ends. I don't mean to be graphic in the morning. But by Monday night, we're sitting there with no shop to go to. And I'm communicating with my daughter, who is now so sick and dehydrated that she is literally delirious. And so, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, and we found one of those places that sends the IV, will send the IVs to your house. And they got there, they gave her the IVs, and literally by Tuesday morning, she was fine, literally fine. She hasn't felt any sickness of any kind. Her husband declined the IV. He thought he could just take it on, and he's been battling symptoms throughout the week. So they kept doing these tests. The tests came back negative for COVID, the adults. And so we thought, well, okay, it's just a flu bug, just a coincidence. You know, Anthony, the 35-month-old motorcycle star, he's already riding his cool electric motorcycle, no training wheels. And he's already well, you know, both kids got sick. His little brother got sick. But within a couple of days, they were fine. Alex, after the IV, completely fine. Both parents testing negative for COVID repeatedly. Mike kept getting sicker and sicker, the husband. And so finally they went into our Kaiser facility and took a test. And, Friday morning, it was announced that they both tested positive for COVID. Alex is symptom free. That's my daughter. Her husband is, you know, got some flu, got some nausea. Sounds kind of like I do when I talk too long, a little nasally. And so, you know, we're still sort of hanging in there. And then, well, I should go back. Just the night before, about 10 o'clock the night before, I had gotten word from a small shop around the corner from the shop that we are moving out, that we could rent it month to month and move in there immediately. It's been vacant. It's been for sale. It's too small for us to buy, but it was going to be our temporary fallback. And so I made arrangements with them. They were going to start getting a lease together. We were going to actually have a place to go. We didn't have to just shut down the shop and throw everything into storage and be in limbo until we could get into our new place, which the current tenant who the deal fell apart with, we'll be out by the end of April. We were trying to figure out how to get through those 6 months. So now we had a backup. I was starting to feel better. We got some treatment for Michael, who's the only one who's experiencing any symptoms from this COVID. And all of a sudden, about noon on Friday, noon yesterday, I hear back from the lawyer for the big, massive shop that we've got, that we've wanted to get into, and there's a new deal on the table. And this thing was shot. We were going to have to make two moves, move to this new side shop, be there for 6 months before we could move into the new place after the current guy lease was up. And within 3 hours, I had written up the contract, I had gotten a check, and the deal is made. And we are moving into our new massive shop in Denver as we speak. And I'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come, because we're going to need lots of folks to help sustain this new big operation that my son-in-law is putting together. But I guess the point of this story is that throughout the week, the COVID, the loss of the business opportunity, the fact that we may have to just pack everything up and be in limbo for a few months until we can get into the new business, and then the savior business that popped up that was just around the corner that we were at least going to be able to move our stuff to, and then all of a sudden at the last minute, based on keeping communications open, keeping prayers going, keeping optimism alive and well, the original dream came back, and we're no longer buying the guy's business. We're just getting him out and taking over the lease, and we're buying his equipment in place. And so really, it's a much better deal for us. It's much better all the way around. And, you know, you can imagine me. I mean, they need me 20 hours a day at the law firm, and then I'm the only healthy one, so I'm running back and forth between wife and COVID kids and everything else, and then trying to find the options for the shop. And all of a sudden yesterday, it just all came together. And so, you know, my point in all that is never give up. Never back down. Never give up the faith. You just never know how things are going to turn out. From all of the drama and the downness, we now are moving today into the place we originally wanted at a much reduced cost, because we don't have to buy the guy's business in order to get it. And I think he's happy too. I don't think he really wanted to sell his business. So it's a win-win for absolutely everybody. And I can tell you this, I was talking to Dr. Julie McCallan throughout the week, you know, about the COVID, about keeping my own, keeping myself safe and my resistance strong and keeping my energy up. And I could not be doing everything that I'm being asked to do right now, or just being forced to do in some cases, without Dr. Julie McCallan and Cenogenics. They literally have it down. Your chronological age and your biological age can be very, very different. And they figure it out, because complete blood testing, complete body and brain and fat content analysis, it's an extraordinary experience that first day if you take on the Cenogenics program. They'll help you take control of your health. They'll help you get back to high energy and better weight, better sleep. I continue to improve. I just love it. In fact, I get to have my year annual assessment with Julie coming up in December, and I can't wait to see the difference. I could barely do a push-up when I went in there last year. It's just amazing, the change. And I just simply know, without question, I'm sure there are other programs or other things I could have been doing on my own, but calling Cenogenics and getting the help of Dr. Julie McCallan has truly changed my life, and I know she can change yours. I hope you'll call her at 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. Or if you can't write that down right now, it's easy to remember, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. We've got full lines. We're going to spend about 15, 20 minutes with Sharona Bishop, whose door was bashed in by the FBI this week. We'll get the real story on Mesa County and put to rest all of the nonsense that you hear day after day after day. And we're going to do that next if you stay right here on 710 KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.